B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb. Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
You're gonna get me come Christmas. I think I already know I shot the mistletoe. Even though it's early December, I know we'll be putting up lights come Christmas. We'll be baking a ham, boiling the jam. Gonna be a night to remember. Get the very best gifts come free. Oh, I guess I have to wait till Christmas. Dancing by the brass band, my baby won't it be tower. Gonna be a night to remember. So bring on the bell and carols with bell. Oh, sugar plum, bring on.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. As always, you can call us at 617-779-0985. You can bake a ham. You can go to twitch.tv. You can get the Twitch app and watch us. They have conversations going over there. Subscribe to the show. It reminds you every day to listen. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and stream show, podcast. Go to your app store and do that. And you can boil a can, do everything that you want.
My wife asked me a question that if somehow Basil Marceau came up.
BasilMarceau.com.
He was, of course, the politician or guy who was running for, I think it was governor of Tennessee.
Yep. Yeah. I was in Tennessee during his campaign. It swept the region.
Yes, he had some very strange platforms that he had.
I like to put plant grass or vegetation across the state with any vacant lot and sell it for gas.
Okay, I'm not quite sure what that means.
No, you plant vegetation, then you sell the vegetation for gas. It's as simple as that.
I don't know what that didn't
get through your head. The vacant lot program for gas.
The only thing it's missing is ass, because you got the gas for gas for grass.
Well, I mean, there's a van involved. I mean, he wants gas for the van.
Well, then everyone rides for free. I mean, isn't that really kind of what we all want in life?
It's not a welfare state. I mean, you're going to have to provide ass for gas.
That's the case. But my wife came up with the question, which I don't know why I haven't researched, but she goes, is BasilMarceau.com still around? And sure enough, no. It is... No. Somehow gone by the way of GeoCities or whatever it was. It's just not, nobody owns it anymore. And I got to think, if you're a squatter, you have missed out on your golden opportunity to get, I mean, just millions upon millions of hits if you own that site.
Yeah, I got to tell you that John was speculating if he was still alive. And I have to imagine, Basil Marceau seems like someone who would stick around. He seems like someone who would be around for a while.
Well, he seems like someone who looks a lot older than he actually was.
Yeah, like, you know,
I mean, that's my problem.
Yeah, he looks like the guy from the cooking show that we had. a little bit. The can guy, or the one that made the nachos, and those guys don't. Weber State, that guy. Those are like dogs that you find that are like missing, like, you know, legs and stuff, and they just like, they don't die. Like my cat. Like my cat live forever.
Yeah,
he's 68 and he's still alive. According to Wikipedia.
Well, I clicked on, you know, his. I went and Googled him, and one of the first things was an arrest. And I guess that he went a couple days to jail. He's in Chattanooga because of contempt of court. I guess that he was arguing over just a traffic violation when he told the judge that she was out of order. Like, you're out of order. And he also told the judge that she was, quote, going down when he gets elected. And she goes, all right, you're going to go to jail for 10 days.
Well, Gandhi went to jail.
That's a good point. I mean, really, you want to talk about two peacemakers, you got Gandhi and BasilMarceau.com, which I think we can all agree is somebody that would have, united the state of Tennessee.
BasilMarceau.com.
That's got to be a good feeling if you're a judge, and if anyone sasses you, you can just throw them in the old pen.
That's true.
That's got to, like, imagine if you had that power. When I had to go to court one time just for open container, and the judge laughed because I had gotten an attorney over the air. And the fact that I came in with an attorney, the guy just laughed and dropped the charges. But when I was in there, it was obviously like very minor charges. But it was weird how the judge, because, you know, it's not a courtroom like obviously on TV. It's just this room where there's a judge. But the judge was behind like a thing. And they just were taking people out of this room in the back and bringing them in. These guys that had been in jail and they're in prison uniforms. And, you know, for stupid crap.
Yeah.
But they just kept getting sent back in. And the worst was, like, the mental ones. Like, the guys with, like, mental problems. And they, 20 more days. And you're just like, holy Moses.
Well, we've seen that before where, you know, a judge will be, you know, there's been some, you know, viral videos of this before, where a judge will almost seem like he's in a, like, a mood for clemency, where he's like, all right, well, you know, this guy. And a guy will come walking into the courtroom and they'll be like, all right, well, you have done blah, 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 blah. You know, how does your client plead? And the lawyer will go, well, you know, he pleads guilty. And he'll be, all right, well, he has so-and-so community service. And then, like, the guy will flip the judge a bird or something. And all of a sudden the judge will say, excuse me? Excuse me? All right, you're going to jail. And then he'll throw him into jail for, I don't know, however long a middle finger would be. But you see this all the time. Like, just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have the wrath of these guys because they're waiting. They're waiting for something like that, a lot of these judges. That moment.
It's one of those things, like, when you're in a real serious situation and your instinct is, your brain just goes, what's the worst possible thing I could do? And it's laugh. And then so, like, the whole time you're trying not to laugh, it's that way when you're in front of a judge. It's like your brain is telling you, like, if you did this, this would be the worst thing that you could possibly do. And then you're like thinking, like, don't do that, brain. Monkey brain, don't do that.
Right, right. At some point,
intrusive thoughts, you stop right now.
Right. If one of those slips out, like, do you, at that point, if you still have that irrational part of your brain working, do you go, maybe I just need to go all in so they think I'm insane? So they think I've, like,
well, then you
kind
are
of
insane.
Lost it.
Well, see, Rich, then you are insane. See, that's the definition of insanity. See, here's what happens.
Because mumbling under your breath, I could see, you know, maybe being an accident second nature, like, son of a, you know, like that.
When you're meditating, one of the goals of meditation is that you are able to observe your emotions, that there is a belief that you are a certain way, and then your emotions are kind of like a surface element, and you yourself are deeper than that. So the idea is that you can, like, sit back and kind of, like, watch your brain work. So your brain's theoretically working on several different levels. Now, there is the part of your brain, and I'm sure everyone has them, intrusive thoughts, like bad thoughts. For instance, if someone's sitting you down and telling you they have AIDS or something, and then your brain goes, you know what would be really bad right now is to laugh, even though you're not even though you don't think it's funny. And that's, you know, that thought crosses your mind. That might happen to a lot of people. Now, to indulge that thought is, I would imagine, the definition of insanity is that you've had a wild intrusive thought of a worst case scenario action, and you've taken it. For instance, if you're driving a car and you're on the freeway, have you ever thought, like, wow, if I pulled the wheel, I could, like, hit the car next to me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Yeah, right.
Sure. So that's an intrusive thought.
Yeah.
So you're not... And then have you ever like kind of like gone like, oh Jesus, and kind of gotten like freaked out for a minute? Like I could like kill a bunch of people. Like you get kind of freaked out for a second, like, wow, this is powerful. Right? So that's your brain kind of working over here. You know what I'm saying? It's like kind of working.
That's a little scary, though. I've always thought, I got freaked out. Like, where do those thoughts come from?
Well, no, they're intrusive thoughts, and everyone has them. You'll be happy to know.
Good,
everyone
has them. I thought I was a weirdo.
Yeah. And so you have these things over here, and so your brain's working all the time. And your brain's trying to, and there's part of your brain that's trying to screw you over all the time. It's thinking of all these terrible things, and it's your job to kind of, as yourself, kind of navigate these things and pull them away. Now, for one to indulge those feelings, that's when you get yourself into trouble. If the intrusive thoughts become overpowering, that is when you're in some deep yogurt. But the judge, that has got to be a very a powerful position to be in. That has got to be a nice position. It's just whenever anyone sasses you, you just throw them in the old Penaroo. You get some Basil Marceau. And by the way, shame on that judge. If Basil Marceau comes to your courtroom, who's he hurting? You know, he's in for some BS charge and, you know, he's sassing you a little bit. Just
big
go,
government
Basil.
Coming down on the man. That's what it is, Fred. I mean, we saw that. That's what his whole campaign was about. Well, that and something about, if you kill someone, you get murdered. I wasn't quite sure what
everyone
that was.
Carry guns. If you kill someone, no, you get murdered.
I'm not quite sure what that means.
I know what he was saying. He was saying everyone carries a gun, and so murderers, this is what he's saying, honestly, and so murderers will not be able to murder. They will be murdered.
Okay, because if they kill someone, all the people with the guns will murder them.
No, he says, kill someone, no, you're murdered. So the tables have turned.
The chili guy just showed up. Kill someone. Never.
Yeah. That's the way he decided to phrase it. So everyone has a gun.
Have a nice day.
Yes. And then have a nice day.
And then have a nice day.
He will solve everyone. He'll solve everything.
He made a Christmas album. So there
I'll
you go.
I'll be baking a ham, boiling a can.
We'll be baking a ham.
That's right. Boiling a can.
I don't know what he's boiling. If you boil a can, that thing might explode.
Yeah.
Now you're
talking. Me on. Yeah.
Were you boiling a can over there?
He likes to boil cans.
Yeah, that's a nice can you're boiling. What was in there before? Oh, peas. I like the taste of the tit of a pecan.
Nutcakes.
Nutcakes. Oh, yeah, that's what they used to call me. I used to bake my nuts and cakes. Whoopsie daisies. Looks like you got a slice of a little surprise. All right, Rich. What's coming up in the what happened last night? Are we going to talk about Michigan State's performance in Cameron Indoor Arena? I guess not. All right,
no, probably not. If you'd like to later on, maybe we can
dabble. I'll go well into it.
In that. But no, the NBA officially opened up yesterday, and a lot of news about Kemba and a Christmas match for the ages.
All right. We will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more Toucher Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
I'll be baking a ham, biting a can.
Rich, what's going down?
Oh, well, so much. I mean,
I think I already know. I shot the mistletoe.
I don't know why he shot the mistletoe. That's a head scratcher. Why would you do that? You would want it to look.
I don't
want
to smooch on Christmas Eve.
Oh, sugar bomb.
Oh, sugar bomb.
That might be my favorite of all of them.
Oh, sugar bomb. Oh, sugar bomb.
Oh, sugar bomb.
I wonder if there's like a video of that, of him like in the recording studio. Remember how like We Are the World was, where they had the headset on and they're holding on to like the earphones, like, yeah, just feeling it like Huey Lewis.
I just want his back to the camera in a recliner, like with a fire going, with the stockings, and him swinging around in the recliner going, oh, sugar plum. Like looking at the camera.
Oh, sugar plum.
You're really going all in on how much money they spent on this project.
Oh, that's a one shot, baby. That's just, you got a guy with a camcorder. I'm not talking about much. He's just sitting in front of the fire at his house.
All right, maybe we need to do a deep dig on the Basil or So Christmas album.
Oh, sugar plum. Oh, sugar plum.
So, you're right, man. He's got like a pipe. You know, he's like,
the pipe's like on fire. There's this massive fire. But I just picture him just looking at him, just swinging around dramatically, going, oh, sugar plum.
I gotta check that out now.
Oh, sugar plum. Yes,
thank you very much, sugar plum. We appreciate that. Well, yesterday, the NBA officially opened up camps all around the country, and in Charlotte, Gordon Hayward was out there, and he was asked, hey, I know you got paid a ton of money, but you realize you're playing in Charlotte, right?
I mean, I think firstly, you know, I never forgot, you know, the commitment and the potential, I think, that Michael and the organization saw in me years ago when they gave me an offer sheet, and I had signed that to come here back then, and then, you know, ultimately that got matched. And so that was for sure one thing that was always in the back of my mind. But then more than that, kind of as the whole thing started going, just the vision that the organization had, the front office, as well as Coach Borrego, of kind of where this team could go, where they could get to, you know, how they believed they could utilize me and where I fit into all that and the impact that they, you know, believe that I can have, and kind of being able to maximize my impact on winning and helping, you know, this team get to that next level.
Oh, sugar plum.
In other words, he did it all for the money.
Yeah, oh, sugar plum.
It's all worth. We're going to wind up in the lower lottery, but I'm going to make $30 million.
Yeah, John, he mentioned the coach's name, and I'm like, who?
James Borrego. Yeah.
And like, I had no idea. I was like, all right.
You don't know the name of the head coach. No one knows the name of three quarters of the players on that team, which is why Michael Jordan went out and got him, because then you can look at the team and go, oh, I recognize that guy.
Well, you know, they have the special uniforms again this year, and so on the top, it's going to say Hayward, and on the bottom, his message is,
oh, sugar plum. Oh, sugar plum.
Well, we're starting right around the holiday season. So yeah, sure. Apropos.
That'd be great if someone said, you know, like people have, you know, like like equality or whatever on the bottom, and the neighbor just says, oh, sugar plum.
Oh, sugar plum.
Oh, sugar plum.
Well, he could say hello to Terry Rozier and the Cooper Manning of the Ball family for us. So enjoy your time out there in Charlotte.
Have fun going 32-50. Or no, I'm sorry, 22-40. Whatever. Well, 22-50.
LaMelo Ball is going to have to learn when to take shots, and I don't see
him. Not on that team. He's got no one to pass to.
Well, I guess Hayward is who'd want to be passed to. But the thing is that, you know, he's been raised his entire life to shoot first. Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't know if people haven't seen him play AAU. I never saw him play in Australia, so you'll have to pardon me. But if you saw him play AAU in these national tournaments, I mean, I'm not joking when he would bring the ball up court and shoot from about three quarters court.
I think the most insane thing that we learned about Gordon Hayward is after his contract is done with Charlotte, he will have made more money than Tom Brady in his lifetime playing. Like, that's just, I mean, that's insanity. And that came from, what, John, one All-Star season? Granted, this, what happened to him wasn't fair. I mean, he got injured. But, I mean, still, even with the injury, he was able to make more money than Tom Brady in his lifetime.
Huge money from the Celtics, huge money from Charlotte. It makes up for a lot. He's going to make over $300 million in his career.
Insane. Well, meanwhile, in Boston, we got news that Kemba Walker will be out until at least January after he was given a stem cell injection and put on a 12-week strengthening program after last season ended. Here's Danny Ainge.
Yeah, he saw some specialists over the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks. They all came to the same conclusion, and I think that gave Kemba a great peace of mind as he went to different really good doctors in our country and got the same opinions, and he's on a program. He seems to be in a very good, happy spot.
Well, Danny's Zoom connection is about as good as his phone connection sometimes on our show. So great stuff. But I took a look into some of the athletes who have received stem cell injections. John, I know that you had written something last night about how, you know, you'd heard Zolak talking about it, how mm-hmm. it always seems like a last step thing. And, you know, when I looked at one specifically that had something similar, I mean, not exactly, but similar to what Kemba's got, and that's the soreness in the knee. Probably the most successful of them being Cristiano Ronaldo. Steph Curry got one as well. But most of the players I found who got that done were on the back legs of their careers anyway. Like Kobe Bryant in 2013, he got one of those. Paul Gasol, as you remember, Alex Rodriguez got one as well. It obviously doesn't seem great if you're having to get it, but to me it just seems like you're going to have to manage Kemba's minutes this season, and at first you're going to see a whole lot of Jeff Teague to start the season.
And that's the other thing. I mean, Brad Stevens said at his Zoom press conference yesterday, when Kemba comes back, he's not full speed. They want him ready for May. That's the goal of the entire season, is to have Kemba completely healthy and without minutes restrictions 6 months from now. Keep in mind that he had a lot of time off during the pandemic shutdown, and he was still sore when he got back, and he was off for 2 more months. Even with the stem cell, he's still not ready. I mean, this knee injury is never going completely away, and no amount of rest seems to cure it. And I don't know if the stem cell will fix him like new and he'll be fine a year from now, but for the here and now, and this team has aspirations of going back to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, he's not ready, and he won't be ready.
John, correct me if I'm wrong, but the stem cell thing is almost more of a pain management thing than anything, right?
Yeah.
This isn't like fix your issue.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that was Zolak's point, and he was talking about it during the first segment of the program right after we were done. I was in the car, I was listening to him, and he was saying, well, you know, the athletes I've encountered, you know, you get the stem cell, you get the SynVisc, which is fluid you insert into your joint when you're low on cartilage so you don't go bone on bone. Yeah. That's just to keep your career going for another year or two. I remember when Mike Lowell was here, he was the MVP of the 2007 World Series, but the next year he got hurt and he was never the same. He was getting those injections, and that was basically the end of his career.
Well, so, I mean, that was in his arm, right?
I think it was his knee.
Was it his knee too?
Yeah,
okay,
I think it was Lowell's knee. Yeah,
Because famously, you've had, you know, a ton of guys do this, but, you know, probably the most famous one being, remember when Peyton Manning had the fuse, like the issues with his neck and his back? They were like, he was taking stem cell plasma injections as well, for something different. So, I mean, it
does science, and I'll tell you what, these people from Tennessee that didn't want the stem cells, I said it before, I said it again. Now your boy Peyton Manning's getting them, harvesting them stem cells. They didn't
Once
like
again,
it.
I don't think these come from aborted fetuses.
Don't know that.
This is a different place.
You don't know
specifically,
that.
Specifically, and he clarified, he took it out of his hip and injected it into his knee.
It's a plasma injection.
That's what it was. In Kemba's case, I can't speak for all cases, but in Kemba's case, that's what happened.
All I got to say is that turn your back on science until you need it. Turn your back on science.
Oh, sugar plum.
That's right.
Oh, sugar plum.
But you were right. Brad Stevens kind of mentioned what they're planning on doing here in the meeting.
He certainly will be on a restriction of some kind. And then, you know, I think that we'll make sure that, again, we manage as well as we can all the way up to, you know, late in the season. And if we're lucky enough to play in the playoffs, and then, you know, hopefully they'll be cheating right at that moment.
It's the second one.
Ha, ha.
And then they pan down and his wiener's out of his drawers.
Turn me up.
And knowing Basil, that's what he calls it, to his wiener.
Turn me up.
A listener just said he looked up the YouTube. He looked up Basil Marceau on YouTube. Apparently his wife is singing and he's playing keyboards underneath the Christmas tree. I haven't looked.
Underneath the Christmas tree. Turn me on.
That wasn't me in the background. That was actually him.
That's him. It's the second one.
Yeah.
I don't think there was an effect either. I think he just kind of trailed off and started over again.
And the guitar player nods at him. Skip, skip, skip. We've done it again, Basil. Put it on vinyl. Put it on wax. We're done. All right, what's coming up, Rich?
All right, well, let's talk about the Christmas Day matchup for the ages that we've got. On top of that, some potential good news if you are someone who just can't wait to get to a real live sporting event soon.
All right, we'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich.
Fred, I'll have you know, yesterday I started stockpiling our Toucher and Rich specific music beds.
They're not going to have the tubes.
No, it's not going to have this. It's not going to have John Cougar Mellencamp. It's not going to have that weird Ray Charles one that's thrown in there.
Maybe what I say. It's not going to have the tubes. She's beauty.
But so if you have any suggestions, you can always tweet them to me at Toucher and Rich or Fred. If you specifically, you can text them. Wallach, I'll put in the curly shuffle just for you.
We're going 90s.
I got my own.
Fish heads.
I got my own Friday thing happening. That's a good point. You feel free to go crazy. Mike Lockhart put out the video for Basil Marceau's Christmas there on Twitter.
Turn me on.
And I'll tell you what, his wife is hell-bent on hiding them glasses. That doesn't seem like much of a present, just taking glasses and shoving them in a tree, but...
Well, the best part of it is at the end of it, like, you know, she kind of gives him, like, a little bit of a wink, and he does this, we're gonna do it, face to the camera.
Yeah, they start banging. You haven't seen the X-rated version. Where they consummate the relationship right there.
He puts the X in Marceau. Yes. That's right. Well, one surprise the Celtics received for Christmas yesterday was that they will be a part of that Christmas Day slate, and their opponent, the Brooklyn Nets, which of course means once again we'll see if Kyrie Irving comes up with yet another excuse for not playing at the TD Garden.
No. He's playing. They're not going to be any fans in that building. He's playing.
I agree. And as funny as it is to speculate the BS reasons that Kyrie may not play the game, and Fred, you had a great one yesterday that he would plead a fear of Boston-specific COVID germs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm convinced he's going to play. First of all, as you said, John, there's not a crowd to boo Kyrie the entire time. Second of all, this isn't some throwaway mid-season game. This is a Christmas game, which has become one of the biggest marquee games of the season. It's kind of like, I hate to say it because the games aren't always great, but Thanksgiving for the NFL, it's kind of the same deal. And on top of that, the pressure isn't there to be like the dude on his team. He's got Kevin Durant for that now. And then he can check it off his list. I'm not scared. I played there. Because there's not going to be anyone in the crowd to scream at him.
Well, they should win, too. I mean, this is a team that if you listen to the media in New York, if they don't, they're mixed. Either everyone agrees they have to make the Eastern Conference Finals, and there's about half the people think if they don't win the East, it's a devastating indictment on the team. So, I mean, they have to beat Boston. I mean, Boston is, you would assume, not a one or two seed. I mean, well, they're not a one seed because they all want Brooklyn to be the one seed. So this
Miami
is a team
has everyone back except for Jay Crowder. From so the this team is that went a team the NBA that finals.
Yeah, this is a team that they should be able to beat, and they
pre-injury
should be able to
Durant was the second best player in the NBA. Pre-injury, he was. Yeah. And so I don't know what he's going to be now. Nobody knows what he's going to be. There's a chance that this team could come out of the box and in the first month be an absolute mess and everyone declare them dead. And then all of us, which by the way,
please make
great.
That happen. I want to see the media eat those two guys alive.
And then make, well, they already are.
Oh, man.
I mean, if you take some time and read or listen to New York media, and they are... I mean, this is what's happened. Listen to Stephen A. Smith. I mean, this is a team that should win the East.
But you're
if they
right, you're
don't,
right.
there's a huge problem.
Fred, Eastern Conference Finals are bust. If you're the Nets and you're taking a look around the rest of the league, you're saying to yourself, we have one of the better ball handlers in the league in Kyrie Irving, even though I hate the guy. And then you could say, and we have the, you know, arguably one of the top five players now in the league in Kevin Durant. There's no reason why we can't at least make the Eastern Conference Finals. I just think reality is that you've got a dude coming off a really bad injury, Kyrie Irving, who's a head case, a guy who's never coached before, and a system that is doomed to fail because Mike D'Antoni is part of it. So this is all of the great ingredients for a phenomenal implosion, which I know the three of us are going to enjoy immensely if that does happen. Mm-hmm. And the chances are high. So just get ready. And then you know what's going to happen. The first month, it's going to be a mess. Second month, they're going to start hitting a groove, and they're going to look great. And then, you know, Kyrie's going to put some vague Instagram thing out to all the haters who hated them. And then at the end of the season, they're going to do what any team that has Mike D'Antoni associated with it, they are going to implode. And it's going to be glorious.
Well, so, I saw the Christmas schedule, and I can't. And I kind of, you know, they keep things fairly regional, so you fly in and fly out. But can you think of a team that's going to try less than the Clippers in Denver? That's a 5:30 West Coast game. You know they're flying out like that, like late morning.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get in, half-ass that game, and fly right back. I mean,
I think it's a 7:30 West Coast game.
Yeah, 7:30 West Coast game. Yeah, so yeah, they're going to they're going to be flying in. Clocking in, you know, sleepwalking through the game and then leaving.
The slate rules, by the way. Like, it's actually, they've came up with five. Like, the Dallas Mavericks versus the Lakers is going to be awesome. Like, that's going to be a great one. And you're right, the Clippers Nuggets, if they try, is going to be a great game. The Warriors without Klay Thompson, that's going to be interesting versus the Bucks. But then again, the Bucks weren't any great shakes at the end of the season anyway. Pelicans versus Heat, that should be a good one as well. And by the way, as far as I can tell, and John, correct me if I'm wrong here, that's the first home game of the season for the Celtics. We're left to speculation right now because they haven't released the schedule. And from what I've heard, they're going to announce the first half of the season, and then the second half isn't going to be released until later on because they want to make sure if they have to reschedule any COVID delays or canceled or postponed games, they have the freedom to do it. So we're getting half schedule?
Yeah, we're getting a half schedule any day now, and then they're not going to release the second half of the schedule until late February. The pause,
smart.
I think they have a built-in week or 10 days off in March somewhere. There's no all-star game. There's no all-star break. There's just a break here where you would reschedule games that get canceled or postponed because of COVID as you move through the next couple of months.
I think it's smart. I mean, that's, you know, just don't put anything in stone for the second half. And that way, when it comes out, there'll hopefully be less moving around. And by that point, maybe there's going to be a little bit lesser of a virus situation.
And also, if I have that, if I'm smart and I plan the schedule the right way, I kind of want some off days and some moved games because hopefully by the time I reach March, in a lot of markets, they could have fans.
Yeah, no, that's true. As a matter of fact, to that point, Fred, we know the basketball season is going to start with no fans in the arenas. But as far as full or close to full stands by the end of the season, Dr. Fauci yesterday said there's a chance. So he did this interview with Yahoo Sports, and Fauci was asked about the possibility of a full 20,000-seat NBA arena in July when the postseason is scheduled to conclude. And he said that it'll be cutting it close, and it depends how many people vaccinate. He said, quote, "We're going to be vaccinating the highest priority people by the end of December through January, February, and March. By the time you get the general public, the people who are going to be going to basketball games who don't have any underlying conditions, that's probably going to be starting the end of April, May, and June. So it probably will be well into the end of summer before you can really feel comfortable with a full sports stadium if a lot of people get vaccinated." He said, "I don't think we're going to be back to normal in July, but I think it would be by the end of the summer." So after that, he was asked about full NFL stadiums in September. And Fauci said, "Oh, yeah, that's possible." He said, "I think that's possible." He said, "We could get there by the end of summer. And as we get into the fall of next year," he said, "but if 50% of the people say, you know, I don't want to get vaccinated, then it's going to take considerably longer than that." So there you go. Possible nearly full stands for the NBA playoffs. And if everyone buys in, almost a certain return to Gillette next season.
If you just go by the numbers, the people that are in major cities are more likely to get vaccinated. So I would imagine that, you know, and the numbers in these major cities will be way down. So I would think that certainly that the door would be open to have.
And the good thing is too, Fred, is I've seen some from some studies that right now about 60% of Americans would feel confident getting it, and the rest of them, you know, either they're just not going to get it, but there's a good number of people who may consider getting it once they see how it does for a couple of months with people who've already gotten it. Right. They want to make sure that they want to feel like they're lab rats and they're being tested on. And so by the time, you know, June or July rolls around, they might see that, hey, some of these people who got vaccinated in December or January, you know, aren't having the side effects that they had feared, and then maybe the numbers will go up. But I mean, you know, it's looking like more than likely by the end of the basketball season, you might be able to have playoff basketball. Well, if not full stands, at least close to full stands, and then it's all bets are off for the NFL season.
Trust me, it's gonna be before then for a lot of places. They're rolling out a ton of vaccines. I mean, tens of millions coming out immediately, and then by the time it gets to February and March, you know, they're gonna have vaccinated 100 million people or something like that. It's gonna, or 70 million people. Then plus you add the people that had the coronavirus and all these things. And then how many people are in the country? 330 million?
Like 300 something million.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many people have had the coronavirus? 30 million people or something like that. So 30 million, then you vaccinate 100 million. That's 130 million. That's, you're getting close. So, you'll
see. Yeah. I mean, the timeline that Fauci throws out there says that, you know, you should be able to get one, whoever you are, by April or May.
Right.
And if that's the case, then playoff basketball, if everyone, you know, if the majority of people buy in, you may have something to watch.
Plus, if everyone who's high risk decides to get it and they're all vaccinated, then the hospitalizations will go way down. And, you know, then that's the main thing is, you don't want the hospitals overrun, and, you know, the deaths will go down because the people that need it the most and are the most vulnerable will have been vaccinated. And then it really becomes, a situation of, the people that are protected. And then you go from there.
It's starting to feel real, Fred.
Well, it is. I mean, that's why there's a light in the tunnel. And that's why if they pass a stimulus package, they could get away with closing things down for a little bit. But because there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but they're never going to get that done. All right. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk to Danny Ainge and a bunch of other stuff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Zolak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Which is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I did see the old client list, though. Wow. Big money.
Don't click on that. Don't click on that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay, because that is apparently, that is some bad, like, inbox-destroying stuff.
Yeah, I didn't click on it. No, but on the on the email that said not to click on it, if you scrolled down, it was this whole client list, which was full of
sugar plums and having a ball.
Turn me on.
I'd like to know if anybody did click on those. So yesterday, you know, we got a ton of emails.
Well, it was very confusing.
Somebody's inbox was hacked and sent out. But do you think anybody within the company said, oh, I have a fax message from somebody that I don't know or that works in the company?
Of course they did.
I'm going to click on
this. It said, please go into your inbox and open this thing, which was an email from the guy. And so, yeah, I mean, I would imagine a lot of people clicked on it.
Well, I don't think that was an email from who sent it.
No, it was a hacked email.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, If you were reading the email set was from the guy, and it said, please go into your spam or whatever, or and open up this particular email.
Like, who does that? Like, I know that it exists, but who does that? Like, who? Why would you? Like, where? What kind of thrill do you get? Like, it's not like you're getting money out of it. It's not like a scam. It's just you sent something out there to like ruin people's computers. Like, who it's does
EEI.
That? That might be the case.
You know what it does? Case.
Turns me on.
Turn me on.
That was Biz Marceau. Just it was an email with his face that said, "Turn me."
And who wouldn't click that? I mean, if it's from Basil Marceau, what do you? He's like, you know, the world's most lovable man,
and such a nice tree. I mean, such a that bright white lesson zero tree that they have going right there. That bright white with the red trim, just beautiful.
Yeah,
you're hiding my glasses in the Christmas tree. Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, sugar plum.
And he's boiling jars, but he says boiling cans because it rhymes with ham, I would imagine. Nothing rhymes with jars that you could boil or cook. You could say we're
riding cars, boiling jars.
I don't even get boiling jars. Is that something that people do? I don't know.
In the video, he's boiling jars. I would imagine that's to make preserves, that it would seal in the freshness.
Oh, yeah, so you boil canning. The actual jar itself?
Yeah. Okay. And then it seals everything for canning. And then you go into Basil Marceau's basement, and it's got a bunch of harvested organs.
harvesting kidneys. Having sugar plums. I'm boiling your liver. What's for dinner?
Wearing your skin.
Will we make it our hands?
That's right.
Playing with your guts. It's Christmas. Your long intestine is long. Singing my song.
Turn me on.
I'll be boiling your heart. Light in a fart. It's Christmas.
All right. So Danny Ainge is going to join us, or unless you already heard it. Joins us again. And Danny Ainge with a lot of stuff to get excited about the season. It's underway right now. People are back. They're dribbling and shooting, doing drills and everything else. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.